Greetings, I'm Brad Thomas, and this is Christ's Resurrection of Life Body. And this message will be from the Gospel according to John, what is listed as chapter 7. So the Gospel according to St. John, Apostle John, John. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. As in thy holy word, so in us. Give us this day our daily bread, and everything we need. Bless us, we may forgive our debtors, as you forgive us our sins against thee, against thine. Lead us not into temptation to sin, but deliver us from evil. For thine only is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever, in Christ Jesus' name. Blessed be he who cometh in the name of the Lord, in spirit and truth, in word and deed and power and might, even so. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly, and account us worthy to stand before thee at thy coming. In Jesus' name, amen. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. His brethren, therefore, said unto him, Depart hence, and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. For neither did his brethren believe in him. Then Jesus said unto them, My time is not yet come, but your time is alway ready. The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. Go ye up unto this feast. I go not up yet unto this feast, for my time is not yet full come. When he had said these words unto them, he abode still in Galilee. But when his brethren were gone up, then went he also up unto the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. Then the Jews sought him at the feast and said, Where is he? And there was much murmuring among the people concerning him. For some said, He is a good man. Others said, Nay, but he deceiveth the people. Howbeit, no man spake openly of him for fear of the Jews. Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, How knoweth this man letters, having never learned? Jesus answered them and said, My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether it I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keepeth the law? Why go ye about to kill me? The people answered and said, Thou hast a devil. Who goeth about to kill thee? Jesus answered and said unto them, I have done one work, and ye all marvel. Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but of the fathers. And ye on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. If a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken. Are ye angry at me, because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Then said some of them of Jerusalem, Is not this he whom they seek to kill? But lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ? Howbeit we know this man whence he is, but when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is. Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, Ye both know me, and ye know whence I am, and I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom ye know not. But I know him, for I am from him, and he hath sent me. Then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him, because his hour was not yet come. And many of the people believed on him and said, When Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than these which this man hath done? The Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things as these concerning him, and the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. Then said Jesus unto them, Yet a little while am I with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. Ye shall seek me, and shall not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come. Then said the Jews among themselves, Whither will he go, that we shall not find him? Will he go unto the dispersed among the Gentiles and teach the Gentiles? What manner of saying is this that he said, Ye shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come? In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, Of a truth, this is the prophet. Others said, This is the Christ. But some said, Shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him, and some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, Why have ye not brought him? The officers answered, Never man spake like this man. Then answered them the Pharisees, Are ye also deceived? Have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed on him? But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed. Nicodemus saith unto them, He that came to Jesus by night, being one of them, Doth our law judge any man before it hear him, and know what he doeth? They answered and said unto him, Art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. And every man went unto his own house. This again is what is listed or referenced as being the seventh chapter in the Gospel according to John. So it again begins, after these things, Jesus walked in Galilee. For he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him, sought to murder him, conspired against him to murder him. The Jews being not the Jewish people at large, but the Jewish leadership, the high priest, all of the other high priests who are referred to as chief priests. the Pharisees, the Pharisaical leadership, the Sadducees, who were at odds with the Pharisees and who were more profane and apostate than the Pharisees, if that's possible, and it is, the Sadducees who deny the resurrection from the dead, among other things. And the scribes and the doctors of the law, who again were typically included under that umbrella of the Pharisees. So these are the Jews that it's referring to. And they conspired against Jesus from the very beginning of his showing to Israel. The very beginning, the commencement of his ministration or his ministry to the people of Israel, not to be confused with the divided tribes here where Judah and Benjamin was Judea, comprised Judea, and the other 10 tribes comprised the kingdom of Israel. That is past. These are more modern times. All of those kingdoms were overthrown, not only the divided kingdom, the 10 kingdoms of the kingdom of Israel, but the kingdom of Judah. They were all subjugated, all overthrown, the vast majority of the peoples taken into captivity. That is the vast majorities of those who had survived, which was a fraction of the population. But Christ Jesus would no longer walk in Jewry, what was left, which is this turf that was dominated by the Jewish leadership, even though it was subjugated by the Roman Empire and ruled over by a Roman governor. There was also this nobility, exceedingly ignoble nobility, such as King Herod, King Tiberius, so forth. But Christ Jesus walked in Galilee. Now the Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand. His brethren, his brothers, therefore said unto him, depart hence and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. So when it is spoken of Christ, of his mother and his brethren coming, and they would come nigh unto him, and he speaks and says what he does, that not my brothers, not so forth, but those who follow the words of God, those who worship the words of God. Jesus Christ is approached at that point in time by his mother and his brothers. His mother was, for all intents and purposes, a disciple, as close a disciple as there could be, though not an apostle. Obviously, his brethren, that was a different situation. Here they are completely, absolutely, utterly, totally non-believing. The Catholics, the Roman Catholics, Eastern Orthodox too, perchance, and Russian Orthodox and so forth, but the Roman Catholic Church, amongst all of their lies that comprised their doctrines and dogmas, the Roman Catholic leadership, which has perverted the gospel for, lo, these millennia since Christ. They insist that when it refers to brethren, that that is referring to disciples, even though very clearly, unmistakably, it is not the case. But here is a further evidence of that. Here his brethren call him out tell him that he needs to go back into Jewry so that his disciples may see his works. They very clearly, unmistakably describe, define, depict themselves as not being his disciples. They're his brothers, his half-brothers, conceived and born of the same woman in whom he was conceived and whom he was born from, but not begotten by the Holy Spirit, begotten by Joseph, the husband of Mary, and not conceived nor born of Mary while she was yet a virgin. They're his half-brothers. And you could say, well, they're not even that, because again, Jesus was conceived and born of Mary while she was yet a virgin. So technically not even half-brothers, but these are his brothers nonetheless. All conceived and born from Mary, all begotten by Joseph. And none of them believe him. And Jesus has been ministering for a while now. And they all reject him. And they all call him out. They all insist that he go back into Jewry, where they know he is endangered, where they know that the Jewish hierarchy is conspiring to murder him. But they are so close to him, so loving, these brothers, that they challenge him to go back into Jewry. And they say to him again, depart hence and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. For neither did his brethren, his brothers, his blood brothers, believe in him. Then Jesus said unto them, my time is not yet come. The time of his giving himself up as sacrifice, as atonement for the likes of his brothers, if they would choose to believe on him, and for as many of us as choose to believe on him, that time had not yet come. My time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. Christ could not, would not, could not die apart from being murdered, being torturously martyred by the Romans at the behest of the Jewish leadership. He could not die outside of Jerusalem, because this was fulfilling Scripture, fulfilling the totality of the Scriptures concerning the Messiah as given forth in the Bible, the totality of the Bible that existed at that time, which was the Old Testament. But his brothers, they could die at any moment, anywhere. My time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. We, you and I, we can die at any time. Any time, any place. Unless there happens to be one of us whom God has said is going to die in this place, at this time, under these circumstances, barring that, and barring God expressly, specifically protecting us from death, we can die at any time. Later on, towards the very end of the gospel according to Apostle John, there is this exchange between Simon Peter and the Lord Jesus Christ, and also concerning John, even though John does not partake in this conversation, in which all of the apostles come to believe that John will remain alive until the return of the Lord. Jesus Christ never says that, but they all come to believe that because of what the Lord Jesus said. Jesus goes on further to say, and he is saying this directly to his brethren, to his blood brothers, the world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. Go ye up unto this feast. I go not up yet unto this feast, for my time is not yet full come. When he had said these words unto them, he abode still in Galilee. But when his brethren, his brothers, his blood brothers, when his brethren, the sons of his mother, were gone up, then went he also up unto the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. The Roman Catholic hierarchy, they have the scriptures. They pride themselves on their great theological expertise and authority in the scriptures, and yet they lie and lie and lie and teach these lies, have taught them for thousands of years, diametrically contrary to the Word of God, diametrically contrary to the Spirit of God, to enslave people, not to set them free. The same as the Pharisees did back in the day when Christ walked. That's not to say that you don't find the same sort of disgraceful behavior from various, many, many Protestant ministers and theologians and modern-day doctors of the law, because you do. Evangelists, televangelists, pastors, ministers, Bible teachers, preachers, theologians, leaders of denominations, and so forth. And I'm not referring to the grossly, profanely apostate ones who continually promote unspeakable evils like induced abortion and the sodomite agenda and so forth. Not referring to those, the Unitarian Universalists and the Congregationalists and these other denominations, Church of England and American Baptist and Presbyterian Church GAG USA. And then their own creation, not just the subverted, corrupted, perverted ones, but their own creation, which really should be entitled the Church of Satan, but instead it's known as the Metropolitan Community Church, which is the worldwide sodomite so-called church. But no. Not only Roman Catholicism, but every vestige of the church that's out there has within its ranks ministers that are unfit to be ministers, were never called by God to be ministers, were never intended by God to be ministers, but whom Satan has brought in to subvert and corrupt and pervert the church. Even as Satan ferrets these individuals, their brethren, if you will, these disciples of Satan, into jewry, which God Almighty, through Christ Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, refers to as the synagogue of Satan, and brings them into every government around the world, some of which they have a stranglehold over, some of which are their own creation, such as communism, fascism, all manner of socialism, and others which they merely have a de facto control over. But the Lord Jesus Christ, no man spake openly of him, even critically of him, for fear of the Jewish leadership. Isn't that an amazing thing? It's one thing for this to say that no man spake openly of Jesus in praise of him. But immediately prior to this line of Scripture, this verse of Scripture, it has people speaking derisively of him. And they didn't even do that openly. They were so petrified about the Jewish hierarchy that was on a warpath against Jesus. Amazing, really. Breathtaking. Now, about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the midst of the temple and taught. Amazing. You know, there are these key feasts, observances within Jewry, and for which there is great significance in Christianity, which is born from Jewry. And as Jesus said, salvation is of the Jews. These most pivotal feasts and observances foreshadowed the coming of Christ Jesus. And at these particular times, at all times, but especially at these times, the Jewish leadership was out in arms. Okay? They were at all times, but especially at these times. It's like, for instance, in this day and age here in the United States of America, the same thing applies around the world with regard to their governments. But here in the United States of America, if you happen to be somewhere where the president is coming to town, there's always a presence in every major metropolitan area and every lesser metropolitan area. There's always an FBI presence. Federal Bureau of Investigation. There's always a presence of federal law enforcement. But when the president comes to town, it is bolstered. Not only Secret Service, but many others flood in prior to his arrival, throughout his arrival, and then depart afterwards. But here, this Jewish leadership that consisted of the highest priest, the high priest, and then all of the other high priests, the chief priests, the former high priest, and so forth, the Pharisees, the doctors of the law, the Sadducees, the scribes, and then their officers, their military, or you could call them paramilitary. They're out in force. They're up in arms. And yet Jesus, whom they are not only conspiring to murder, but it is so publicly known that everybody is afraid to speak openly of Jesus. Jesus publicly appears. Where does he appear? Where does he make his appearance? Of all places, Jesus went up into the temple, into the eye of the storm. This place that is supposed to be so holy, but which has been made unholy. Jesus Christ takes his rightful place. He goes up into the temple and teaches. Now, about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews, meaning the Jewish leadership, marveled, saying, "How knoweth this man letters, having never learned?" He's been an apprentice to a carpenter, right? Yeah. Where did he get this high and mighty theological training? So much so that he puts all of the Jewish leadership to shame, not only by his righteousness, his godliness, his virtue, but his knowledge and wisdom, which none can gainsay. Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine. My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keepeth the law?" What a statement. What an indictment. None of you keepeth the law. You are the religious leaders. You are the Jewish hierarchy. You are the creme de la creme, and none of you keep the law. "Why go ye about to kill me?" Now again, in the Bible, the way that it has been translated, it rarely says murder. Kill or killed or killing or whatever is almost invariably meant to refer to murder, at least as it pertains to people, unless it is referring to warfare. And in the Ten Commandments, "Thou shalt not kill" is, in point of fact, "Thou shalt not murder." And all of the Baptists can say, "Oh, how dare you?" After all, but it's a fact. And a lot of Baptists are good people, good Christians, even though Jesus said, "None is good except God." "Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keepeth the law? Why go ye about to kill me?" That is, to murder me. And the people answered and said, "Thou hast a devil. Who goeth about to kill thee?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "I have done one work, and ye all marvel." One work. No, Jesus had done a great many miraculous works. But the one that is the most recent, the one that they are now making a big deal about and want to slay him for, is this one of healing this man on the Sabbath. Terrible thing that he committed, healing this man on the Sabbath. Can't have that. So Jesus answered and said unto them, I have done one work, and ye all marvel. Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but of the fathers, and ye on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. If a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision, or a baby boy, that the law of Moses should not be broken. Are ye angry at me because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Circumcision. Moses gave it to them not because it is of Moses, but of the fathers. God gave it to Abraham. The fathers is Abraham, his son Isaac, and his son Jacob, Israel. And Abraham and Isaac, his son, were circumcised on the same day. Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Circumcision was not some hollow ceremony. It was a testimony, if you will, a testament. I don't want to get off into that, but suffice to say, it was interesting that these Jewish leaders held such great stock in that, while they corrupted and perverted and abused the Word of God and righteous judgment, committed gross miscarriages of justice, dishonored God, polluted the temple, polluted themselves in the sight of God, prostituted the gospel, yes, the gospel of the Old Testament. Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. But unrighteous leaders and rulers cannot judge righteously. It goes directly contrary to their sinful, wicked nature. Then said some of them of Jerusalem, is not this he whom they seek to kill, that is, to murder? But lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ, or Messiah? Howbeit we know this man whence he is, but when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is. Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, ye both know me, and ye know whence I am, and I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom ye now know not. Whom ye know not, but I know him, for I am from him, and he hath sent me. Then they sought to take him. They, being the Jewish leadership, sought to take him violently. But no man laid hands on him, because his hour was not yet come. And many of the people believed on him and said, when Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than these which this man hath done? The Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning Jesus. And the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him, to arrest him, and violently to take him. Then said Jesus unto them, yet a little while am I with you. And then I go unto him that sent me. Ye shall seek me and shall not find me. And where I am, thither ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, the Jewish leaders, among themselves, whither will he go that we shall not find him? Will he go unto the dispersed among the Gentiles, the diaspora, as they are referred to in this day and age, and teach the Gentiles? Will he go unto them and teach them? What manner of saying is this that he said, ye shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come? He doesn't say, you may not come. Ye cannot come. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified, because Jesus had not yet suffered, had not laid down his life as atonement for us, had not risen from the dead, and had not ascended into heaven. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, of a truth, this is the prophet, not a prophet. Whereas the Muslims have Jesus being a prophet of sorts, a lesser prophet. Yes, Muhammad, that false prophet, that devil, he received his marching orders from Satan, who goes by the name of Allah in the Quran. But you find this not only with out-and-out false great world religions, so-called, but also with cults, so-called. The difference, the distinction between them being that the cults try to fashion themselves more nearly as being Christian, so much so as to claim to be Christian. But you find the same things going on, that they change the meanings. They will use the same vernacular or similar. They will even mirror the kind of structure and cadence to try to make it appear that it is authoritative scripture from God. But lo and behold, the essence, the gist, the truth is changed drastically. Well, Christ Jesus was not yet glorified. And many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, of a truth, this is the prophet. This is akin to the people in Sychar of Samaria recognizing him, saying, this is the Christ. This is the Messiah. This is the prophet, the Christ, the Messiah. Others said, this is the Christ, explicitly stated that this is the Christ or the Messiah or the Messiahs. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David? And out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was. So there was a division among the people because of him. And some of them would have taken him. but no man laid hands on him. Then came the officers back to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they, the chief priests and Pharisees, said unto them, why have ye not brought him? We commanded you to bring him, and you didn't do it. Why? How dare you? The officers answered, never man spake like this man. Then answered them the Pharisees, are ye also deceived? I know the wording of that is a bit incongruous. Then answered them the Pharisees. Then the Pharisees said unto the officers, are ye also deceived? These officers are high-ranking Jews, but they are paramilitary. They are their private police force. It's fascinating how many agencies in the United States federal government have their own private police forces. Well, here the Jewish leadership had theirs. They didn't have to rely on the Romans, under whose boot they were. They had their own private military force, their own private secret police, if you will. So again, the Pharisees say to the officers, who are their servants, are ye also deceived? Have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed on him? But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed. It's interesting because you find the same kind of wording, almost verbatim, from Roman Catholic leadership going back in time regarding their view, their regard for the common people, that they were cursed, unlike the holier-than-thou leadership. But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed. Nicodemus saith unto them, he that came to Jesus by night, being one of them, being one of the Jewish leadership, and spiritually blind, but better than the rest. Doth our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth? And they answered and said unto him, art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. And every man went unto his own house. So while they answer Nicodemus very roughly, very angrily and hatefully, even though he's one of them, he's not their kind anymore. He's starting to think for himself. That won't do. And following this exchange, they leave rather than have a continuation of it, I suppose. But this line of reasoning here, art thou also of Galilee? Search out and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. Now, I personally am not aware of any scripture that says that there will never be a prophet from Galilee. But if you read through the Old Testament, you will find God Almighty raises up prophets from here, there, and everywhere. There's no respect of persons. It is not exclusively the province of the tribe of Judah to have prophets. By no means. Or the tribe of Joseph, or the sub-tribes of Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh, to have prophets, or the tribe of Benjamin, or any other tribes. No. It is not exclusive to the Levitical priesthood, to the tribe of Levi, and to the branches of that tribe, leaders of which are commonly known as far as Aaron, the wayward, rebellious, sinful, grievously sinful elder brother of Moses, and his sons, and so forth. No, by no means. In the United States of America, in the church in the United States of America, I say the church like it's a unified organism, which it certainly is not. I mean, even Baptist denominations are far, 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 far from unified. There are so many sub-denominations of the Baptists. I know long ago, years and years, decades ago, I read something that stated that there were over 200 denominations of Baptists. I know it's just breathtaking. It undoubtedly was less than accurate. I can't imagine that there are that many, but nonetheless, the church in America, a great deal of the church in America, well, first of all, there's the Roman Catholics, okay? And the Roman Catholics, they have their chain of command going back to Rome, to the Papa there. And then we have the Protestant denominations, some of which are extremely close to Roman Catholicism. Contrary to what was said back at the time of the royal wedding, great similarity with the Roman Catholic Church. That is, the Church of England, the Anglican Church, Episcopal Church, so forth. But we have these exceedingly most ultra left-wing apostate abominations of the church, various different denominations. Then there are denominations which are not over the edge of the cliff yet, but they are sliding that way, and they are very near the edge of the precipice. And then there are others that are making their way that way, but not as perilously close. And you will find that many churches reject there being miracles in this day and age. Many will reject there being prophets in this day and age, that prophecy and prophets ended with the Bible, you know, with the death of the last apostle, and others will go back predating that. It's a little bit like the Mormon cult, where they insist that the church, the entire Christian church, died, ceased to exist with the death of the last of the apostles, and other such outrageous, profane heresy. It's not just that the Mormons are missing it here or there. The entire structure, foundation of Mormonism is a lie. That's not to say that there are not good people within the Mormons. There are decent and honorable and so forth people within the Mormons. Certainly not all of them. Certainly not the leadership, who are particularly damned, but as are the leaders of all false religions and all lies opposed to the Word of God, the truth of God, and deliberately so, and premeditatedly so, and bent on cheating people out of eternal life, bent on making the finished work of Christ of no effect. But there are churches, persuasions, affiliations, alliances, and so forth, denominations, which state that prophecy is alive and well. And I'm just going to say, beware. But prophecy is alive and well, and there are prophets here and there, and so on and so forth. Well, so much of what is called prophecy is of a type that did not really exist in the Bible, and that is personal prophecy, which is heretical. But then those who call themselves prophets, like King Solomon called himself the preacher in Ecclesiastes, so many of these who call themselves prophets, if they're calling themselves prophets, watch out. Beware. Stay away from them. That's my advice to you. But so many of these churches that believe that prophecy is alive and well today, there are prophets, they have the prophet be subordinate to the pastor, diametrically contrary to the Word of God. Why is it that a pastor cannot be over and above the prophets? What was the position, the role of the prophets, really, truly, throughout the Old Testament and on in throughout the New Testament? What was the role of the prophet? It was to call out not just the people, but the leadership for their sins and their rebellion against God, and to foretell judgment from God. And you can't do that if you're an employee of a pastor. You cannot do it effectively. If you are subordinate to a pastor who is subordinate to a church board that is subordinate to a denominational hierarchy, it's a complete, utter, nonsensical sham and fraud. It just, that does not work. That dog don't hunt. It is a lie to have that kind of a structure. The prophets, while they could be priests, they could be apostles, they could be evangelists, you will find that so very many of them were none of these. They might have been viewed as renegades or wild men or what have you, but they were not part of the organized Jewish, dare I call it, church. They were not in a leadership position more often than not in the New Testament church. The only reason that you find them really within the ranks of the New Testament church is that the New Testament church had been around for such a brief period of time that you didn't have quite the degree of debauchery and and so forth in the church that you had in Jewry. But again, if and or when there are legitimate prophets, they are not subordinate to other church leaders. They have to be free to speak regarding those leaders, not be under them, but be apart from them, not be so near to them that they are influenced and affected by them, let alone be subordinate to them. But I digress. So, they claim that Jesus Christ cannot be a prophet because he's of Galilee. Nonsense. Of course, they didn't bother, all of these exceedingly intellectually honest, exceedingly religiously intellectual leaders, none of them bothered to find out where was Jesus really from? Where was he born? Not where did he grow up, but where was he from? Where was he born? What is his lineage? None of them had any interest in that whatsoever. Instead, they preferred just to condemn him on a pretense and have plausible deniability about knowing his true roots. And so we find, too, in the church today, all too often, that leadership is following the leaders that preceded them, or has broken away and is engaging in its own corruption and apostasy. Are there good and godly Christian leaders? Yes. Are they the majority? Not as far as I'm concerned. As far as I'm concerned, the best, the most praiseworthy, noble leaders of the church are abroad, outside of the United States of America, in places where there is extreme persecution, privation, that is deprivation, danger of every kind, not just violence, but disease and starvation and everything else, terror. But the great leaders are abroad, as far as I'm concerned. I'm Brad Thomas, and this is Christ's Resurrection of Life Body. Heavenly Father, Holy God, lead us and guide us and direct us into all truth. Have thy way, Lord God. Open the eyes of our understanding and impart thy truth to us and through us by thy Holy Spirit for thy glory. Blessed be he who cometh in the name of the Lord, in spirit and truth, in word and deed, even so. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly, and account us worthy to stand before thee at thy coming. In Jesus' name, amen.